Welcome to Preach the Word, the radio ministry of the Yucaipa Church of Christ. The Yucaipa Church of Christ is located at 33981 Yucaipa Boulevard in Yucaipa. Visit their website at yucaipachurchofchrist.org, where you can hear today's teachings and past lessons. You're invited to join the Yucaipa Church of Christ for their weekly services. Assembly times are Sunday morning classes beginning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday worship and assembly at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening assembly at 5 p.m., and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Yucaipa Church of Christ.
My name is Milton Beecham. I am with the Yucaipa Church of Christ. I'm privileged to be able to preach. And I want to encourage you, please, to come and see us anytime you can. It'd certainly be an honor, and I can rest you assured that we're going to study the truth of God's Word, and that you can be a part of that anytime you're with us. Our lesson today is What God Has Purposed. And I'd like to start out with you in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. Our God, ladies and gentlemen, is a God of purpose. And he has had a purpose behind everything that he has done, even in giving miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit to Christians in the first century. And clearly that was exactly what happened. And Jesus even explained it after he rose from the dead before his disciples. This is recorded in Mark chapter 16. And what I'd like to share with you are verses 17 and 18. Mark 16, 17, 18. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Why did Paul write the following to the church in Corinth? But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. What was the purpose of God in making miraculous power of the Holy Spirit available in the first place? Is it still available as it once was? First, let's consider that miraculous power of the Holy Spirit was definitely available to Christians in the first century. For Paul to point out in the opening passage in 1 Corinthians 13 that we read, the ceasing and the being done away with of such gifts, it is clear that such power was given. And in Acts chapter 2, we can see that that was the prophecy from the prophet Joel. In chapter 2 of Acts, start with me in verse 16. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Comes to us from the book of Joel in the Old Testament. What was God's purpose in giving such power? The miraculous power of the Holy Spirit served Christians until the Word of God could be completely revealed. In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus made it very plain to his disciples that when the Spirit of truth came, he would guide them into all the truth. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, we're told about such signs and wonders and where they came from and why they were to be used. It says, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So these gifts would certainly back up their proclamation of the truth. And according to Jude, verse 3, everything concerning the faith has been given, every bit of it. There's nothing that's been held back. All that God wanted us to have in terms of his completely revealed truth is ours. It is clear, with the exception of the household of Cornelius, that God gave the power of the Holy Spirit through the laying on of the apostles' hands. It was interesting, when Peter actually commanded the household of Cornelius to be baptized in water for the remission of their sins, that he had to defend himself and what he had done, because prior to this, there was no formal approach to any Gentiles. The word of God was preached to the Jews exclusively. But look at what he had to say in Acts chapter 11, in verses 15 and 16. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Of course, that's what happened in the case of his preaching at the household of Cornelius. There were others who came with Peter on that occasion, and it's recorded in the 10th chapter of Acts. But the Holy Spirit did not fall on any of them. The Holy Spirit fell on the household of Cornelius. And it is the exception to the rule, because they had not yet been baptized. But being confronted with this, Peter commanded them to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. That's recorded in 10:48, and of course it took a dramatic set of circumstances to finally convince Peter, who's from a Jewish background, that God had given equal access to Gentiles as well, and that was the dramatic set of circumstances. I also want you to consider with me that which is contained in chapter 6 of Acts. Let's go to 6 and share with me verses 6 and 8, but let me explain before we read these. Seven men have been selected. Seven men who will wait tables that are being neglected until these men are selected. And they're selected from the entire congregation. Seven men. Among this group are men by the name of Philip and Stephen. Now let me turn your attention in chapter 6 of Acts to verses 6 and 8. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying they laid their hands on them. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Now, let's learn about Philip as well. And let me have you travel with me to chapter 8 of Acts. Let's share verses 6 and verses 14 through 17 in chapter 8. Verse 6, the crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip, as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. Oh, also look at 7. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So we see that Philip also possessed miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm maintaining that the way both Stephen and Philip had power from the Holy Spirit, both of them being baptized believers, was when the apostles prayed for and laid hands on them. It wasn't until that time they exhibited these miraculous manifestations of the power of the Holy Spirit. But after that happened, then indeed that was the case. Now I want you to consider with me from chapter 8 of Acts, verses 14 through 17. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them, They had simply been baptized or immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. So you see, the same thing as what happened to Philip and Stephen is exactly what happened to the men and women who had been baptized, according to 8:12 of Acts, by the apostles. In both cases, the apostles did that. But let's look at another example very quickly. This time we go to chapter 19 of Acts. Chapter 19, and let's read verses 1 through 6. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. Once again, I remind you, of course, Paul was an apostle. And of course, he had the authority and power to do this with regard to the people who'd been baptized in the name of Jesus. The miraculous gifts that were available to first century Christians are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 through 30. These gifts could only be given to Christians as the Spirit willed. Now I direct you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what I'd like to share with you are verses 7 through 11. "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the spirit of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another," note, "the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills." That means that no baptized believer could turn to an apostle and say, "I'd like to be able to speak in tongues and interpret same. Oh, and I'd like to be able to heal," and expect those gifts to be received. What people received through the laying on of the apostles' hands in terms of the distribution of the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit was up to God through the Spirit. And He decided. No one else did. Well, we've seen that obviously miraculous power of the Holy Spirit existed in the first century. We've seen that it was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, and the apostles laid hands only on Christians, baptized believers, in order to distribute miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, the one exception, of course, being the household of Cornelius, where the Holy Spirit fell upon that household before they were baptized for the forgiveness of sin, but that to dramatically demonstrate that God had opened the doors of His kingdom to the Gentiles, having first done so for the Jews, as we pointed out. Is this miraculous power of the Holy Spirit still available? That's the big burning question that so many are asking. And some questions can be added to that. For example, is there an apostle still available today? Also, will possessing such gifts today fulfill God's purpose for them as when they were originally given? Since the New Testament has been completely revealed, and the Bible is complete in its 66 books, there is no need for the Holy Spirit to directly inspire men to teach any part of the truth without a complete revelation, as we now have and have had one for quite some time. How important is that revelation, that completed revelation? Well, I want you to consider two passages with me. The first of these is located in the book of Galatians. It is in chapter 1, and it is verses 6 through 9. Let's read it together. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. Some of the strongest language the Apostle Paul ever put to paper, or papyrus as the case might have been. But let me also turn your attention to the book of Revelation, where regarding that book of prophecy, we're going to chapter 22, and I want to share with you verses 18 and 19 of Revelation chapter 22. Verse 18, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. In fact, we talked about that last week, if you recall, when we talked about heaven. Without an apostle present to lay their hands in order to give such miraculous gifts, there is no means to either bestow or receive them. Please travel back with me to Acts chapter 8. And this time, I want to share with you, please, verses 17 through 19. Acts 8, verses 17 through 19, please. Then they began, that is, the apostles, laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon, and let me explain, Simon was, well, he was a magician, and people were convinced that he had the power of a god, small g. But he realized what he had seen demonstrated, certainly by Philip on this occasion, in the miracles that he had performed. He realized they were bona fide, they were legitimate. What he did were tricks. What they did was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we continue. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this authority as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Well, of course, Peter had to upbraid him, because that gift had nothing to do with him. It had been given to the apostles, no one else. No one else could pray for and lay hands on a Christian and give that miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. Only the apostles. And it's very, very important that I emphasize that with you today. God's purpose in giving these gifts was to verify that the person who possessed them had received them from God. And such a gift or gifts would back up their teaching as coming directly from him. Now remember, that's in the absence of a complete New Testament. And let's think back. Let's think back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, specifically verses 9 and 10, which makes it very plain. We know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. What did he talk about? Well, three things we've seen listed. Speaking in tongues, of course, knowledge, and prophecy. Now, the word perfect can be very misleading, and I want to make sure we use the right word for that translation. That is the Greek word teleos in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And teleos is better translated complete. Complete. When you see the word perfect, you may be misled to think, Well, it's referencing the return of Christ. That's when all of these things will end. No. No, it's talking about the perfect or the complete versus what is in part. And he said, Paul, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is complete is come, that which is in part shall be done away, is the way that 10th verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 should read. In Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, we see that Stephen possessed miraculous ability of the Holy Spirit, or power of the Holy Spirit, through the laying on of the apostles' hands, we understand. And in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 7, we see that Philip, who also had the apostles' hands laid on him, possessed miraculous capability. And we see that God testified through such things according to his will in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. As I said to begin with, and as our lesson is dedicated to, God is a God of purpose, and Scripture cannot be broken. Now that's exactly what Jesus said in John 10:35. The Scripture cannot be broken. Even our Lord Jesus Christ would not stand in the way of Scripture being fulfilled. He would not. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, Jesus explains to those who are there with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, "Do you not know that I could call upon my Father, and he would presently send me more than 12 legions of angels?" But then he asked, "How then could the Scripture be fulfilled, which says that it must be this way?" In Matthew 26, 54. You know, Jesus fulfilled all of the Scripture. And understand, there are minute passages of Scripture that Jesus is constantly fulfilling. Not only, of course, through his ministry and his life, but of course, the events surrounding his crucifixion. In fact, in John chapter 19, there are four Old Testament passages that are fulfilled, and they're brought to our attention by John as having been fulfilled in what happened to Jesus on the cross. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. Of course, there are many other passages that could be identified, but suffice it to say, God's purpose must be kept. God's purpose must be carried out. Now, we might try to interfere with that, or we might have a different opinion than that, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the truth. It cannot be in any way, shape, or form broken. Which brings me then to finally consider with you, God's purpose must be accomplished. And to bring this point home to you, finally in today's lesson, I'd like to travel with you to the book of Hebrews. Let's travel to Hebrews chapter 10 together. Hebrews 10. Look at verses 8 and 9 with me. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings, and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He takes away the first in order to establish the second. Folks, even the law, yes, it was wonderful. Yes, it had been given by God. Yes, it was very insightful and instructive, especially regarding what was classified as sin before God. But it was to be taken out of the way, fulfilled by Jesus, as he said he had come to do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, not destroy, but fulfill it. And he did so, of course. So with his death upon the cross and the shedding of his own blood, he could initiate the new covenant. That's what God had sent Jesus to do. And that, of course, was to do his will. Oh, folks, this is so strong. And it applies to any other topic. God has purpose. He is a God of purpose. And we must seek to do what his purpose reveals. And I want to encourage you to do that. Thank you so much. Come and see us at Yucaipa. Thank you.
You've been listening to Preach the Word, the radio ministry of the Yucaipa Church of Christ. The Yucaipa Church of Christ is located at 33981 Yucaipa Boulevard in Yucaipa. Visit their website at ukiapachurchofchrist.org, where you can hear today's teachings and past lessons. You're invited to join the Ukiapa Church of Christ for their weekly services. Assembly times are Sunday morning classes beginning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday worship and assembly at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening assembly at 5 p.m., and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Ukiapa Church of Christ.